You know, I'm excited about the direction that God is revealing. I don't think, you've all heard it, but periodically I will go back and listen to the prophecy that Dr. Price gave to this ministry in 1990, because it helps me to keep steady and keep patient and to hear the word of the Lord come through a seasoned minister of the gospel, again, not now Apostle Price, but at that time, Dr. Price in 1990, and I really, as a matter of fact, I went and listened to it the other day just to hear it again, to get it down in my spirit, to strengthen my heart as to hearing what God has said to this ministry. And it strengthens me. It strengthens my resolve to keep it focused on what God's heart is, what His desire is for this ministry. And all the wonderful things, all the great things that have been accomplished through Pastor Sarah and Clinton. But God said, we're not staying here. That's what He said. He said, all of the wonderful things you've done. He began to elaborate in that. And He said, you're not staying here. So it helps me to keep steady and not get swayed one way or another, but to keep steady and keep my eyes on that which God has revealed. And I truly believe, because I heard the word of the Lord, that the Sears building is the next building we're going to take, and it's much bigger than that. And I was just looking at a report the other day on Sears. I know this doesn't have anything to do, but it does in a way. I'll tell you, it has to do with patience. Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. So sometimes we can get antsy. We all want it now. We want it yesterday. Everybody wants it yesterday. They want the promises of God now. And that's usually not how it works. And so I was reading something the other day that right now Sears has about 250 million dollars in cash available. It sounds like a lot of money, but Sears needs $1 billion a year in operating capital to run. And they're on the skids, as they say. And it said when they sold Craftsman to Black and Decker for $900 million, they only got out of that about $500 million to work with. So they've only got, with that sale, $750 million. They need $1 billion to operate for this year. And they said they're going to unload some more stuff. But then the clock starts ticking again in 2018. They need another billion. Where are they going? They're going down. Because it's God's design. He already knew. And so that's why when he said, the first building you will take is the Sears building, he knew exactly what he meant, and he meant what he said. And it's coming to pass. And it's more than just that building. We're going to take building after building after building after building, because God said through Dr. Price, the people I'm sending won't fit in here. So it's much bigger than what we see now. And so God is saying, I'm looking for a people who will believe me for something I want to do. Something we don't see right now. And that's all he's saying. And so I listen to it to keep me straight and keep my heart straight and not get, as they say, antsy, impatient. because God's not impatient. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You get to John 15. John 15, it says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So what good is a branch that bears no fruit? Well, it tells you right here. A branch that bears not fruit, he taketh away. That's not too good. So all of us, in some form or capacity, have borne fruit. So that means we all need to be pruned. Pruning doesn't sound too comfortable, but it's good. So anytime we want to say, I want to bring forth more fruit, that means purging. That means pruning. And that's what we all have to be willing to be pruned and purged. Verse 3, it says, Now ye are clean through the word, which I have spoken unto you. And I mentioned before that that word clean actually means to be purified by fire. It means to be clean. Well, it says to be pure. And it says, another definition is like a vine cleansed by pruning and so fitted to bear fruit. So that means when we are cleaned by the word, we are pruned. Of course, we all know that. The entrance of his word giveth light. So when the entrance of his word, when the word of God is revealed to us, it pinches. It convicts. It shows us things that we need to change. That's pruning. Abide, verse 4, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. So right here, he's telling who the branches are. If you weren't sure, here it is right here. You say, I am the branch. There you go. So that means if you're a branch and you're bearing fruit, that means purging, means pruning. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. That what? That you should go. Say go. That's the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. You should go and bring forth fruit. And what? That your fruit should remain. And we said in the past that fruit that remains is eternal. Fruit that's eternal is spiritual fruit. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So fruit that remains is fruit that will last, fruit that endures, fruit that doesn't spoil. It's one of the translations I know over in John 6:63. It says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing." The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the New Living Translation says, the spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. So without the spirit, without the help of the Holy Ghost, our human effort accomplishes nothing. That just means without him, I really can't do anything that's effective. That remains. Amen. That to me is part of, that's the testimony when you think about the prophecy that Brother Copeland gave to Pastor Sarah in 2003. He said, it has taken 20 plus years to build the foundation. It is now just being completed, and I am now beginning to build the ministry house. That's a testimony in this sense. A foundation is something that remains. Would you not agree? Because he said some foundations take longer to build than others because of what it's going to have to support. Well, if I'm going to put something on it, it better remain. If I'm going to put something on top of that foundation, it better last. It better remain. And so that to me is a testimony right there of fruit that remained. Right? Hallelujah. So we can see here that in John 15:16, in the Voice translation, it says, you did not choose me, I chose you, and I orchestrated all of this so that you would be sent out and bear great and perpetual fruit. See? So he orchestrated this. The complete Jewish Bible says, you did not choose me, I chose you, and I have commissioned you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So the minute when I see a word commissioned, I begin to think of the Great Commission. The word commission means that I'm acting for someone or on the behalf of someone. That to me spells or talks about the believer's authority. I'm acting in the behalf of or in the name of Jesus, right? And that is the Great Commission. And that purpose is to what? Go and bear fruit and fruit that remains, perpetual fruit. So God has chosen us and commissioned us. Wow, isn't that exciting? So we're all commissioned to go out and to do something for the kingdom of God. I like the way Pastor Clinton used to say it. He said, Jesus is our focus. And what? Finish the rest for me. I guess some of you weren't here when he said that. Or you're not awake. Let's do that again. How many? Jesus is our focus. That's a little better. I think three is a charm, right? We'll do it a third. No. I think you all got it. Jesus is our focus, and kingdom building is our job. Hallelujah. That's scriptural. Say it the way you want. Say he said it the way he said it, but that's scripture right there. Jesus is our focus, and kingdom building is our job. So some of the other translations, in order to be fruitful, I like the some of the other translations, the Wiest translation. It talks about that we need to maintain a living communion. That's the Wiest translation. W-U-E-S-T, it says, maintain a living communion with me. This is John 15:4. And I with you, just as the branch is unable to be bearing fruit from itself as a source unless it remains in a living union with the vine. So the branch does not produce fruit. In other words, it does not have the life within it. It gets its source from the vine. Amen. And thus we need to get our strength, our source from the vine. Otherwise, we're just being busy and not really making an impact. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's turn over there, and verse 6. Just kind of walking back through these scriptures again before we get to 2 Peter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That sounds like fruit to me. Increase is fruit. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. That's fruit. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers, what? By myself, together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So this word here, what it's talking about here is all the work that we've done and built thereupon. He's talking about the foundation of Christ and being or taking heed how you build thereupon. And I mentioned to you that was what the Lord had spoke to me not too recently, when he said to me, you know, you don't build a foundation on top of a foundation. And I guess I knew that. Anybody would know that. But I didn't think about it. And when he said it, I said, well, right, exactly. And so no one builds a foundation on top of a foundation. You build a structure on top of a foundation. And so the methods and the things that were used to build a foundation, as he spoke to Pastor Sarah, the Lord spoke through Brother Copeland, he said the foundation is now complete. Well, that means some of the things that may have been done. See, I think this is something that, and the more I meditate on that, sometimes people their thinking gets off. They think, well, now we're forgetting about the foundation and we're changing and we're going to do something else. Well, let me ask this question. Anybody own a home here? Anybody live in a home? Okay, you have a foundation, right? You don't forget the foundation. You thank God every day there's a foundation under there holding me up. You built a house on top of it. You don't forget the foundation. That's foolishness. You got to build a structure on top of a foundation. The whole purpose for building the foundation was not to have just the foundation. Praise God, we got a foundation. No, it's to build something on top of the foundation. So there's a purpose for everything. There was a purpose in the foundation. But once the foundation is completed, you need to find out from God, what are we building? What are we putting on top? And sometimes when you start to build, people are still wanting to stay with the foundation. I'm not talking about you. No, I'm serious. I'm just making a point that sometimes people are thinking about the foundation and we're trying to find out from God what to put on it. That means there's going to be some change in some things to build it, right? It's going to be different. It could be. But you stick with the foundation because that's everything rests on it. You don't go, oh, let's get rid of the foundation. You're crazy. I'm not going in your building. So the whole point here is that this foundation is absolutely necessary to build on, and it's critical and important. And in some ways, I'm not going to say more important than what's on top of it, but is vital. Amen. Let's go over 2 Peter. Let's turn over to 2 Peter. In chapter 1, and starting in verse 1, and this is here, we're talking about fruitfulness. 2 Peter chapter 1, and starting in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That sounds like being connected to the vine, doesn't it? And bearing fruit. That's what it sounds like to me. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence. That word diligence, in some of the other translations, it says, try your hardest. It says, make every effort. Do your best. Do all you can. So when you look at this, it says, do all that you can. Do your best to add to your faith. See? Do your best at that. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things, these areas, these seven areas, if they be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, boy, like this, you might fall. It says, you shall never fall. Never. Say never.
Yeah.
Never fall. Wow. It says, you shall never fall. So this ought to be a focus here. This means here, if I'll never fall, then this means I ought to focus in on this. Adding these seven things to my faith, keep adding them. And actually, as I say, adding, it means taking every opportunity to add. There's a scripture in Galatians when it says, God is not mocked. He that soweth to his flesh shall... God is not mocked. He that soweth to the flesh... I'm quoting the wrong scripture verse. Help me out here. I'm just getting... Hebrews 6, 8. Galatians, that's what I said, Galatians 6, 8. Is it 6, 7? That's close enough. No, I'm kidding. But what I was trying to say here is that what it says in one of the translations, let me pull it up here. It talks about one of the translations, I don't know which one it is. It says sowing seeds. And that's what you're doing. When you sow seeds to either the flesh or the spirit, you add to, you build up. So when it says God is not mocked, he that soweth to the flesh or he that soweth to the spirit, you're sowing seeds to that, either the flesh or the spirit. So one of the first virtues, when we looked at the first thing, it says, add to your faith, what? It says virtue. And we went over that. That's really excellence, excellence of character, moral excellence, goodness, and or resolution, Christian energy. This is what the Amplified says. It really means doing your best, not doing less than. It means having excellence. Does it mean you're perfect? No, but it means you strive, you add to your faith excellence, striving to do the best that you can. That's what that means. And, you know, there's scripture, Hebrews 11, 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And we saw what happened because of that. So we see here you want to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Well, what does that mean? We're adding knowledge. That means we're lacking in something. If we're adding knowledge, then that means we're adding something that we don't know. Signifies understanding or knowing things. So what do we want to purge and get rid of? Not knowing. Ignorance. So you're being pruned. When we get the Word of God, that means we're gaining knowledge in the Word of God. You want to add to your virtue knowledge, which is your general intelligence or your understanding or knowing things. And it says here, after that, we're going to add to our knowledge temperance. And temperance just means self-control. It means being able to control yourself. What does that mean? As opposed to being weak or giving in to things. So you're adding to your yourself, temperance, or you're adding, as it says here, you're adding to your knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. One word for temperance is really just, it means self-control. That's what the Strong says. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passions. Romans 8:13, it says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's self-control or temperance. This is Romans chapter 5 and verse 13. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So again, like Brother Hagin said, you need to be more God inside minded. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. So he developed, as you call it, self-mastery over his body. I keep my body under. What does that mean? The real you, the person on the inside, said, no, I am not doing that. That was when he said, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. The man on the inside, the real you, is in charge. So now I want to look at this evening. In verse 6, it says, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. So we want to look at this particular area. So in order to be fruitful, that means we need to purge or prune impatience. And I'll guarantee you, everybody, there's some element of impatience. The flesh is impatient. You know, your spirit isn't, but your flesh is. Your flesh wants it right now. You know, if you sit in a traffic light for too long, it's like, womp, 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 somebody's honking the horn, or they're trying to get around, or, you know, or if you've got a co-pilot in your car, come on, move this guy, let's go, we got to go, move. Somebody, if you're patient, somebody else is trying to get you to be impatient and move. Come on, we got to get there. We got to go. Move. Come on, let's go. And so, if we're going to be, and the point in all of this is if we're going to bear more fruit, we have to purge impatience. And impatience is just something in the flesh. And here's the thing. The more you yield to it, the more you strengthen it. You know, a muscle, think about this. If you have a muscle and you keep working it, what happens? It gets stronger. And so if impatience is there and you keep yielding to it, you're taking the opportunity to exercise it, as what you're doing. Instead of taking an opportunity to just say, no, I'm not doing that. No matter what, I mean, you may want to. And it takes temperance to do that. It takes self-discipline to say, I'm not going to do this. I am going to take an opportunity to exercise patience. But I want to be impatient. Because if you don't, if you go through a lifetime of being impatient and you keep exercising it, you keep exercising it. You weren't born that way. You know how people say, well, you know, the Irish, they're hot-blooded. The Italians are hot. No. They've got generations of people that have yielded to the flesh and have exercised it. And exercised it. And exercised it. And exercised it to the place where they just yield to it without even thinking. And talk about it. I'm this. I'm hot-blooded. I'm this. And so you've yielded to it so much that you don't even realize that you've become that. And the scripture, I was watching something the other day. It was a little clip on Facebook by Rick Renner. And he was highlighting 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And he said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So that means every man faces the same temptations. Nobody's exempt. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. So that means, and then a brother Rick Renner, being a scholar in Greek, he began to expound very quickly what the word escape meant. He said it's the compound of two words, and he said basically escape means a way for you to walk step by step out of the problem. Step by step. He said the same way that you walked into the problem, step by step. You fed it. You walked into it. You kept yielding to it. He said it's the same way you escape. He said that's what that word means. You step out of it, step by step. He said the same way you stepped into it, you turn around and go back the other way, you step out. And he said God is providing that way. And so, for all of us, every area, and especially in this particular area, the question is, does impatience affect our fruitfulness? Absolutely. If you look at society, think about this. Hebrews says, through faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. So that means that you have no more faith than patience. If you give up on your patience, there goes your faith. It stops. It's faith and patience where you inherit the promises of God. You think about this in society today. People quit jobs. They're on their 10th job. They never really reach the place that they should be or could be. They keep changing jobs. What does impatient mean? They give up. They quit. Say, impatience is a quitter. It's not good. Impatience is not godly because it doesn't bear fruit that remains. It quits. It never sees the harvest because you quit. You give up. So when faith and patience fulfills and sees the harvest, when impatience kicks in, we never really see the harvest. You don't. Patience from the Strong's means endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, forbearance, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. What it means is, it means being like God. When we're patient, we're like Him. We become more and more like Him. So, this area of impatience is vital to our success. It's something that we have to purpose to exercise. Next time you find yourself in a traffic jam, it's an opportunity to work patience. Next time you're in a long grocery line and you're in a hurry and impatient, it's what? It's an opportunity To do what? Exercise. Exercise my patience. Exercise it. Not exercise what? The flesh. And give impatience that opportunity to exercise it. And it takes an effort. Doesn't mean we're not going to miss it. It doesn't mean that we won't flub sometimes here and there. But what it does mean is if I'm going to be fruitful, if I'm going to bear fruit, and with what in mind? If I add these things and they're in me and abound, it says, I will be fruitful. And it also says, what does it say? It says, if wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your election, your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So our heart ought to be, you know what? There's this area, this particular area we're highlighting tonight. It needs to be what? Pruned and trimmed. So that if there's an area of impatience, and sometimes we've fed it so much that we yield to it without even realizing it. And, you know, it could have been just, you know, your upbringing. Could have been your exposure to your parents or your household. It could have been that. Could have been just a whole lot of these things where you're antsy about stuff. Ah, I got to do this. Bring it down a notch. Exercise patience. Exercise some patience. And so those kind of things affect our fruitfulness. You know, when you think about, you know, impatience, you could look at it another way. Impatience can be the same thing as somebody who has a bad temper or anger. It's the same thing. It feeds into that. And so those things that you exercise impatience, you could almost say, I'm exercising temper. You could do the same exact thing. You can say, what am I doing? I'm exercising it. You know, I'm blowing some, you say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, you're exercising that instead of exercising patience. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to yield to the flesh. We want to yield to that which is spiritual. And the same way in 1 Corinthians, in other words, what's another way of saying it? That if I turn around, if I'm walking in this direction and I'm feeding something, I'm exercising it, and I turn around and go the other way and I start walking the other way and exercising it, I starve this. I'm starving this. I'm not exercising it. What does it become? Weaker and weaker and weaker because I'm exercising this and not this. This becomes weaker and weaker to the place where you could literally change the way you are. Literally the way you are. You know, people say, well, you know, you were this way, you're not this way. Well, the way you got to be this way was by exercising a different thing. Exercising a different fruit, you see. And that takes time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. You didn't get to that place overnight that you are now. Some of the things that we've developed have taken years to develop. It's going to take some time to turn it around and go back the other way. But it's doable. Hallelujah. I'm for that, aren't you? Because I want to bear more fruit. And that's where I'm at. Let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 10. A few more scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. See, when we said impatience is a quitter, impatience quits. Well, patience, what do we say one of the definitions was? It's steadfast, it's constant, right? What does the scripture say? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's constant, isn't it? That's patient. And we're to be like him. So Hebrews 10:35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, you could say your faith, which hath great recompense of reward. I like that. We all like that. What is verse 36? For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What did he say? You have need of patience. So I guess we need it, don't we? If we're going to bring forth fruit, get a reward, that means we need patience. And that's what we said. This is a problem in society today. You see road rage. You see all of it. Why? Because people have fed, they watch television programs that are nothing but anger, 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 shooting, killing. And you feed on that. You keep planting that down in here, and you keep yielding to things. And the next thing you know, people are pulling and jumping out of their car, swinging bats at each other and pulling guns and everything, just and every other kind of goofy thing, right? And they have fed impatience, and they've ended up over, and in some tragic cases, killing people just for cutting somebody off on the road. It's crazy. And when you think about this, the way when we feed something, if you quit, you get impatient and quit, you just exercised that, it becomes easier to quit the next time. It becomes easier to quit the next time if you don't get hold of it, if you don't take hold of that and decide, I'm not doing that, I'm not quitting, I'm going to stick with it. See? And this affects our fruitfulness. If you're there in Hebrews 10, look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Well, that could be what we're talking about. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. These things beset us. He said, and do what? Let us run with what? Patience. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Say this, faith is not frustrated. Faith and patience work together. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 3. Hebrews 4:3. What does it say? For we which have what? Believed, do what? Enter into rest. So we need to enter into rest with things and not be impatient. James, go over to the book of James, chapter 5. James chapter 5. Maybe I wrote that down wrong. 5:7. Yeah, James 5:7. I was looking at 4. What are the first three words? Be patient, therefore, what? Brethren. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. So, for all of us, just a word of encouragement and a word of instruction from the Word of God, that we're to add to our faith what? Virtue. And unto virtue, we're to add what? Knowledge. And unto knowledge, what? Temperance. And unto temperance, patience. I know that's hard sometimes to get out. Patience. But I know for all of us, you know, for every single one of us, there's something in our area, that in our lives, that we're impatient about. Something we want change, something we want, we're just like, I want this thing, right? Or you're just impatient about everything, whatever that is. And you know what? That's not, I think in some ways, I don't want to say that's not your fault, but you know, children are exposed to things, and they get exposed to things as young children, and that stuff gets in them. I say all of that that they get exposed to as children, we all did. There were things I saw and heard at home, just like you all saw and heard at home. And it sometimes can be very destructive. But thank God for the Word of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And no matter what we were faced with or grew up in life and maybe have become because of that. See, even though you've become a new creature in Christ, your heart's been changed, your spirit's been changed, but the Word of God also says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So there's a transformation that has to take place in our thinking. And this spirit man has to be developed, and this mind has to be renewed, so that when it gets exercised, it gets bigger and louder than this flesh, and stronger than this flesh, and says, no, I'm not going to do that. And so that takes effort and time, and that's why what this is saying, we have to add to our faith this, and this we have to add, and this we have to add. And of course, we're focusing here on patience, as the Scripture has a sharing, so that what? We can be more fruitful. Because if we don't, we'll miss out. And it says we're going to be... everything we do is going to be tested by the fire of God. And so we want to make sure that we're making an effort to add to our faith these things so that we don't come up short. And look, you know, we all got some work to do, every one of us. We have not, this is a lifelong work here. Amen? So, you know, I thank God for the Word of God. And keep blasting away at this thinking and flesh and stuff, and build up my spirit so that it becomes stronger and more dominant to some of the impulses that try to surface. Right? But when those impulses surface, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to not yield to them, not exercise them, because that's what happens. When we exercise them, they get stronger. We keep feeding it. And so that's just something. Next time when we get an impulse to say or do something, don't feed it. Make a decision. I'm not going to do that. Because the flesh will want to rise up and talk to you. It'll want to talk to you real loud and strong. Right? Praise God. Amen. So we're going to grow, keep growing, till we get to the place where this spirit man is stronger than the other desires. We're going to starve it, as they say. Starve it. You know, they had that show on TV, The Biggest Loser. Yeah, we're going to be the biggest losers when it comes to impatience and lack of knowledge and all of that. We're going to starve it. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you, Father, that we're growing in faith. We're growing in our virtue. We're growing in our temperance. We're growing in our patience. We're growing in our godliness. Thank you, Father. We're growing in our brotherly kindness. We're growing in charity. And Father, we thank you that we take every opportunity to exercise these and add them to our faith. And Father, we thank you that we will not give into the impulses, but we'll starve those impulses, Father, and we'll exercise when given the opportunities to, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, think about this. Just think about this. You know, I think about it sometimes when it comes to just, you know, simple natural examples. How many have gained weight and then had to lose weight? I don't need any hands raised because everybody in here has gained weight and then had to lose weight, right? And so what did you do to gain weight? You yielded to eating. You just yielded. You didn't say no. You just said, I'm going to eat me some more of this. I'm going to have this. I'm going to eat this. And you did what? You yielded to the impulse. And you didn't say no. But then you said, oh, I can't get in these things here. And I refuse to gain any more weight. So you did what? You made a choice. You made a decision to do what? Not yield to that impulse of eating. And the more you said no, the more you didn't yield to it, the easier it became to say no. Because you said, I'm not eating that. And what happened? All of those impulses got quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter. Yeah, you may have gone through a transition where it's screaming, I want this, I want this. But the more you said no, and you put your body under, what happened? It became easier and easier and easier. And all of a sudden, you're looking in the mirror going, hey, all right, I'm losing weight. Right? But you had to make a choice to do what? Starve the impulse. It's no different with spiritual stuff and spiritual things. What happens is you just have to decide, you know what? I want to bear fruit. I want to, because it said, that's what gives glory to God. So that which is important, that which remains, is the fruit. And how are we going to get there? We're going to have to develop these other spiritual areas. And it's going to take some effort. And we're going to have to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to change this. I'm not giving in. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Would you get a little something? It helps to be reminded. It helps to think about it. And the more we think about it, the more we touch spiritual things, the Holy Ghost gets involved. And he'll begin to reveal things that we need to fix and change or not yield to or correct. He may reveals something to you you hadn't thought about before, you see. And so it helps to think on those things. The entrance of his word brings light, brings revelation and understanding to the simple. Amen.